All right, what's up, guys? This is End Time Headlines. I'm Ricky Scaparello, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We welcome you to tonight's program. Things are going to be a lot different tonight than our typical routine messages that we do, as far as the information side to this tonight. This entire message tonight is just me sharing my heart. I want to share with you a powerful testimony, a personal testimony that has left me shook. I'm still wrecked from this. Even after 2 days. So I want to share that with you tonight. And I want to talk about how to rekindle the fire that once burned in your heart. All right. So before we get started tonight, again, I want to encourage you to download our free app. Again, it's available on Apple and Android. Go to your Play Store, depending on what device you have. Look, if you're listening to the broadcast and you don't have a visual, if you'll just go to your Play Store, type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo. You'll see that there. Download our free app. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. For you guys that are watching the visual of this, what's an easy way to do this, if you'll go into the description of this video, under the description, there's going to be a link that says download our free app. Click on that link. And it's going to take you to a page where you can just click on the your Apple Store or your Android Store. And again, that's where you can find our app. This is how I want you guys to keep up with our ministry. Do not rely on social media networks because time is running out. We're on limited time on those platforms. So I want to encourage you to do that. And of course, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. If you've not done that already, this is how you could get our content to go out and more people can see our content out there on these platforms. All right, so I'm going to give you some verses of scripture. This is going to be our foundational scripture here. It's going to be out of Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to talk about the church of Ephesus. There were seven churches of Asia. John the Revelator is speaking directly to about the church of Ephesus. And the Lord is revealing the good, the bad, and the ugly of these seven churches. And there's some things I want to pull out here regarding the church of Ephesus. And again, this is going to be our foundational scripture to where we're going tonight. So let me read this. To the church, or to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. So this is the good. So he's commending them for the good here. But then he goes from the good to the bad to the ugly. Then he says, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. So that's good. But the bad thing is there's apostles in the church that declare themselves to be apostles, but they're really not apostles. They're false apostles. And look what he says there. And you found them to be liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. So this is the good. He's really emphasizing here the good. But then notice what he says in verse 4. We've highlighted this for you. Nevertheless, I have this against you. Now, what could it be? Because we're talking about a church here that's labored in patience. They cannot bear evil. They expose it. They expose false apostles and found them to be liars. They're persevering. They have patience. They're laboring. They've not grown weary. And you say, my goodness, Brother Ricky, what could actually be so bad that Christ would say, time out. Yes, you've got all this going for you, but I have to point out something that I need you to deal with. What could it be? Verse 4, he says, nevertheless, I have this against you. Listen to what he says here, church. You have left your first love. He says in verse 5, remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. So friend, listen, I want to preface something here before we get started and really start or just rolling out with this message today. I want to preface this and I want to say this is not about salvation. This is not about whether you're born again. This is not about whether you've given your heart to Christ. This is not what we're talking about today. I want to talk to born again, saved, redeemed believers whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to talk to Christians today. You know you're born again. You know you're saved. You know you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You don't question that. You know that. But I want to ask you something, friend. Has it been so long for you that you have lost your first love, that the fire is beginning to dwindle out? The oil is running dry. You're going through the motions. You have fallen in love with ministry, but you have fallen out of love with the one who gave you the ministry. Do you love people anymore? Do you have compassion for the lost anymore? Do you have a desire to be in His presence anymore? Do you have a desire to be in the house of God anymore? Are you bored with sermons? Are you bored with the presence? Are you bored with the Word of God? Are you just going through the motions and punching your clock, your Sunday morning service clock? And for you guys who emphasize that the Saturday is the Sabbath and this is what it is, we'll say, are you the Saturday morning church going individual, but where are you this other 6 days of the week? That's the group I want to talk to tonight. This is not about you've lost your salvation or we're questioning that. That's not what we're talking about tonight. I'm telling you tonight that you can be a Christian, a believer, a born-again, sold-out, Jesus-loving Christian, and your fire begin to dwindle out and you lose your first love. Listen, I gave my heart to the Lord 23 years ago, June 2nd, 2000, around 7:45 p.m. Eastern, in a little Church of God, a prophecy church, country church, in a place called Shepherdsville, Kentucky. That was the day I said yes to the Lord. And when I got born again, I was not weighed down with denominational traditions, this doctrine, that doctrine, this tradition, that tradition, this protocol, that protocol. Listen, I didn't have any of that. I just knew that the Spirit of God drew me to repentance. I was a broken man on that altar. My wife and I both broken, cried out to the Lord, completely got radically saved. Now I say radically saved because when I came up off the altar, friend, everyone who knew me, that used to party with me, that used to run with me, my circle of friends, when I came up that altar and they saw me again as a new creation in Christ Jesus, they saw me in the flesh, but they no longer recognized me. I didn't talk like I used to talk anymore. I didn't do things I used to do anymore. I didn't partake of substances that I did prior to me being born again. My desires changed. All my priorities changed. And because I was not indoctrinated by some denominational tradition or this group or that group or this theological circle or that theological circle. Somebody gave me a Bible and they said, just read the New Testament. Start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, read the book of Acts, read the entire New Testament, then go back and read the Old Testament. And then when you get done with that, read the New Testament again, go back to the Old Testament. So I begin to open up the Bible. Are you hearing me? Begin to open up the Bible and I begin to read Matthew and I begin to read Mark and Luke and John. And I read about how Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed and sick of the devil. And I read about how he began to call individuals who were average individuals. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were people that would be quote unquote average. They were not people with prestigious careers and degrees. These were average everyday individuals. They didn't have prestigious education, but I read about how these men Their lives were turned upside down after their encounter with Jesus, and Jesus empowered them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. And he said, these signs shall follow those that believe. And he talks about in Mark 16, he said, they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall cast out devils. They will heal the sick. They will raise the dead. They will do all these works. And in over in the book of John, he says, and greater works shall you do because I go unto the Father. Now, I read this and I believed it. And listen to me. And even in my infancy, in my walk with Christ as a babe, because of radical obedience to the gospel, my wife and I both, not just me, but we both, this is when we didn't even have kids. We began to see signs, wonders, and miracles that was confounding Christians that had been serving the Lord for 30 years. They became, many of them became angry because they said, well, I've been serving the Lord for 30 years and we've never seen this and we've never seen that happen. But then I didn't understand that as a babe in Christ. But now that I'm 23 years into this, I understood something, and it was all about obedience. See, the problem with many of you, the reason why you don't see signs, wonders, and miracles is because Christ and the Holy Spirit will call you to be obedient in little things, but you will neglect it. You will reject it, or you will reason it out. Let me say that again. You will reject it, you will neglect it, or you will reason it out. You will reason it out because your denomination has convinced you that casting out devils is not for today and there's no demons and people don't need deliverance. Your denomination has taught you that the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, those nine gifts are no longer available and they're no longer operating in the church today because they went out in the fourth century with the last apostle and they all died off. You've got denominational teachings, and your preacher and your pastor and whatever the case may be has taught you and persuaded you and indoctrinated you that God don't do the miraculous anymore. He don't heal the sick anymore. He don't raise the dead anymore. He's not doing these things anymore. And and instead of believing the Bible, you believe what some preacher has told you behind the pulpit. And you say, well, hold on now. Aren't you a preacher telling this on YouTube? Yes, I am. But listen, I challenge you to do what the Bereans did. The Bereans, when they heard the apostles preaching, your Bible says in the book of Acts that they heard the words of the apostles and they went home and they studied the law and the prophets to see if those things in which they said lined up with what the words said in the law and the prophets, because they didn't have the New Testament then. It was being written. And can I tell you something? It's still being written. The book of Acts is the only book in the entire Bible that in the New Testament that does not finish with the word amen. Why did it not finish with the word amen? Because the book of Acts is still continuing. It's still being written. You see, you call it the Acts of the Apostles, but I call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because the apostles, the original apostles have died. They were martyred. They went on to be with the Lord. Their bodies are not here. Their spirits are to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. But the same Holy Spirit, come on, that raised Christ from the dead, dwelled in them, is also the same Holy Spirit that is alive and well and operable in the earth today and is available to you and I as believers and quickens our mortal bodies. So having said that, here I am as a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I've got my Bible that's got all 66 books at home. So when I'm at home, I could study this, and I'm beginning to read this, because here's the deal. I was born again, and I now have a covenant with Jesus as a son of God, little s. We're not talking about we're equal with Jesus. I'm not talking about all that mess. I'm talking about a child of God. Now I'm a child of God. But listen, I am now in relationship with a God that I didn't know anything about. So I had to read the Bible to get to know this Jesus who I've given my heart to. Listen, some of y'all, you know a lot about Jesus, but you don't know Jesus. Oh, come on. That's why this message doesn't make much sense to you. It doesn't resonate to you because you have a religion, not a relationship. Oh, you know about Jesus. You know about the Gospels. You know about history. You know about what he did, but you don't know him. You don't have a personal relationship with him. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to get into it. So here I am, and I've got this little, so I've got a whole, I've got a 66 books of the Bible that I can study at home. But then when I go to work, I bring with me this little orange, I'll never forget this. I had a little orange Gideon New Testament Bible. It had the New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs in it. How many knows what I'm talking about? You had that little book. So here I am, and I'm taking this to work. Why? Why am I taking it to work? Why am I taking it everywhere I went? Because I'm hungry and I long to know the Lord, and I want a relationship with the Lord. So I want to get in time with him, even at work. So while everybody's at work on their lunch break and they're talking about their weekend, they're talking about how much drugs they did and how much alcohol they drank and who they slept with and who they fornicated with and all this partying they did and all this nonsense and et cetera, et cetera. I'm over here by myself and I've got my little Gideon Bible and I'm opening it up and I'm reading about the works and the acts of the apostles and the works of Jesus and what the Holy Spirit did. So here I am. I'm born again. I'm reading all this stuff. And all of a sudden, I noticed the more I begin to read, I'm going to say some stuff today that's going to offend some people. And it's going to offend you because, again, it's going to break outside of your theological box that you have put God in or that you have been persuaded by your denomination. That has told you these things that God can't do this, won't do that. And if this, this, and this is of the devil and all this nonsense. So here I am and I begin to read this, the New Testament Gideon Bible at work and I am shaking under the power of the Holy Ghost. Now I'm not talking about convulsing and shaking all over the place like I've got an epileptic seizure. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this quaking feeling that I could shake. I didn't understand this until I read Jeremiah, who says, with stammering lips and a new tongue, I will speak unto my people. So the Holy Spirit was upon me. Now, I was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise when I got saved, but the Lord was wanting to baptize me in the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 2, with the endowment of power. So I begin to read about this in Acts chapter 2. I begin to read about in Acts chapter 3, in Acts chapter 7. And I begin to read about how they were all together. And as they heard the gospel, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they begin to speak in another tongue as the Spirit gave them utterance. And in Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They begin to speak in a tongue, in an unknown language. And now, I remember I would begin to talk to my wife about this. And I said, look at this. This is amazing. And she was raised Baptist. And they were taught, listen to me, they were taught that any of the spiritual gifts, the supernatural, and especially speaking in tongues, was not of God and it was demonic. So when I began to question this and I was hungry for this, she said, oh, no, we can't get into that. Because even though she was born again, she was born again at one time, but she backslid and fell away and rededicated her life. When I gave my heart to the Lord on June 2nd, she was still indoctrinated with this stuff. Because that's what she was taught. And I said, well, hold on here. So we would do these Bible studies. And I said, look at this. The Holy Spirit was still being poured out all through the book of Acts. And so I began to, pray. And I told her, I said, let's just pray. And if it's of God, then God will give it to us. If it's not of God, then God will protect us from it. That just went right over somebody's head right there. Because listen, if you are of those who say that the baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking in another tongue is of the devil, do you put God in a box to believe that God is not able to protect you and keep you from that which is of Satan? But if it's of God, is what I said in my prayer closet. I said, God, if this is of you, and this is still active, and this is still available for today, I want it, and I want all of it. Because I read over there in the book of Matthew where it says, if you, being evil as a father, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now you say, well, hold on, Brother Ricky. I thought I received the Holy Spirit when I got saved. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm not talking about that today. Yes, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's not what we're talking about today. We're not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the endowment of power, Acts chapter 2, in the book of Acts. Okay, I'm in Acts chapter 8. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Now, keep in mind, Peter and John had already been saved, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Okay? Verse 15, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. So again, this is where, I'm not bashing a certain denomination or Baptist or anything like that. I'm just saying there's just been some ignorance on teaching this. If you receive the Spirit, the baptism, the endowment of power when you got saved, then this would not even be in the Bible. Again, here is apostles in Jerusalem. They're apostles. They're born again. You can't be an apostle unless you're born again, an apostle of the Lord. So they're saved. They're born again. They were in Jerusalem. They heard that those in Samaria had received the word of God. So they sent Peter and John to them. And when they came down, they said that they would receive the Holy Spirit. For look at what it says here. For he had not yet fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, they were saved. They were baptized. But then in verse 17, when they laid hands on him, they received the Holy Spirit. Okay, so then we go to Acts 19. Apollos was at Corinth. And then when Paul passed through the upper regions, he comes to Ephesus, he finds disciples, and he asks them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they say, we've not even heard of this. So they get baptized in the name of Jesus. Look at what it says here, verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. All right, so I'm going to give you a lot of cliff notes on this because I don't want to. We're already 30 minutes into this, and I've only got about 30 minutes to get through this message because I really want to share with you a powerful testimony that happened right in my basement of my home. Okay. Shortly after I got saved, I felt God was all over me. God had more for me. I'm praying in a secret place. Lord, if the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today, I want it. I want all of it. To make a long story short, I was asking for this gift. One night I went to a revival meeting in Kentucky. There was a man of God preaching at the revival meeting. Never met him in my life. I was in the back row, lost in worship. He says, young man in the back, and he called me out and he says, you, and he described what I had on and he was pointing to me. He said, step out in the aisle. God has something for you tonight. So again, I didn't know any of this stuff. I was unlearned in all of what we would call church protocol. So I was obedient. Are you hearing me? Obedience is everything. I stepped out in the aisle. He steps off the platform. He starts walking towards me. I'm walking towards him. He says, you've been asking for a gift, haven't you? Well, I'm freaking out because I'm like, how's this guy know this? And I said, yes, I have. And he says, and the Lord says tonight that you're going to receive that gift that you've asked for. And he laid hands on me and I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we're talking about the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm talking about, it felt like liquid fire from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. And again, I could not remain standing on my feet. Well, Brother Ricky, I think that's demonic and I don't think it's of God. I don't care what you think. I really don't care, guys. I am over this stuff. I am 46 years of age. I know I'm not older than some of my mentors and stuff who say these kind of things, but I'm 46 years old and I don't give a rip what people care or think. Because from that moment, when I come off the ground, listen, I got born again, but when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, everything changed, friend. I'm talking about everything changed. I want to share with you some stories. I'm talking about, now what am I talking about? I'm still into this thing. First works, first love. I was so radical for the Lord that, again, I'm showing up to work and I've got my little Gideon Bible and now I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I begin to pray for my coworkers. I begin to pray for those who are working with me and I begin to lay them out before the Lord in prayer. And I'm telling you, God would begin to speak to me in dreams about people that I work with. God would give me dreams, warning dreams. There was this one individual that God showed me a warning dream about a car accident. I would show up and I told him, I would describe the kind of vehicle that he would drive. I would describe the circumstance. And he said, my goodness, I'm supposed to go to that place and you just described my vehicle. And I said, well, I'm just telling you, man, I told him I'm a born again believer. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. And I believe God's warning you, you know, please don't do that and this. And I even told him in the dream, it was raining and I remember him coming back to me, and the day that this would have happened, it was pouring down raining that day, and he took a different route. And I remember he told me that day. I remember I had a good friend of mine that I used to run around with, and before Christ, before I got saved, I used to party with. The Lord gave me a dream about him being in a car accident and God sparing him, and then me to call him up and tell him that God spared him because I prayed for him. And could you imagine this? So I call him up and I said, hey, so-and-so, listen, they knew who I was. We used to hang out. I said, you were in a car accident recently, wasn't you? And they said, yeah, I was. And they were like, man, we haven't spoken in like 7 months. Did you hear about the wreck? I said, no. I said, the Lord gave me a dream about it. And they were like, oh, come on. And I said, okay, you want details? You were there. So-and-so was with you in a passenger seat. So-and-so was there as well. And you were, and I gave them all these details and they were shaken in the dream. And they're like, man, that's crazy. And I said, no, it's not crazy. It's the Lord. And the Lord is warning you to get right with him. And God spared you and protected you because I've stood in the gap and I've interceded for you. I'm talking about, guys, God would begin to use me and my wife and do, I'm talking about things that defied logic. I'm talking about, we both worked at an Arby's in Kentucky. We both worked there for 7 years. She was actually my manager when I gave my heart. When we met, she was my manager and we eventually got married, but we were still working there when we got born again, when we got saved and we're on fire for God. We're going into this Arby's and I'm telling you, we're preaching the gospel to people. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. I'm talking dreams. Listen, I was a training coordinator when I worked there. And I remember one night the Lord gave me a dream. And in this dream, I saw this young lady. I was in the restaurant and I was training this woman, this young lady. And in the dream, in the dream, she was wearing all black, black hair, black lipstick, black eyeliner, black, nail polish. And she was gothic in the dream. But in the dream, I remember I began to hold her hands and I began to minister to her. And the power of God hit her in the dream. And I wrote all this down. Well, 2 weeks later, I am training a new hire on the back line of the restaurant on how to make sandwiches. And as I'm training her, I noticed that she had black hair, but didn't think nothing of it. But then I noticed as I passed down a sandwich to her for her to make, she started wrapping the sandwich, and I noticed she had black nail polish. And all of us, and when I saw that, it immediately the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is the woman that you saw in the dream." And I said, "Lord," and I'm just being honest with you. I said, "Lord, if I start this stuff here," I was like, "I can get in trouble for this." And the Lord says, "I wouldn't have showed you the dream and showed you what to do if I wasn't going to protect you and keep you and take care of you." I'm telling you guys, if you be obedient to the Lord, God is for you and not against you. And he's going to bless you for it. So I begin to talk to her. And I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to say this? Because if I sit here and say, "Hey, I know I don't know you and you don't know me, but I had a dream about you," how weird is that going to be, guys? So we begin to talk, and somehow the Lord opened the door for me to, I asked her a question. I said, "Listen, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I am a Bible believing born again Christian. And God gives me dreams about things and circumstances and people. And listen, hear me out. Please don't think that I'm weird when I tell you this, but I believe that I saw you in a dream 2 weeks ago." I said, "Are you Gothic by chance?" Well, all of a sudden her countenance changed and she backed up from me and she said, "Actually," she goes, "Yes, I am." I said, "Do you wear all black liner, black ear, eyeliner and lipstick and nail polish?" She said, "Yes." She goes, "I am." And I was like, "Look, I don't know why the Lord gave me a dream about you, but he gave me a dream about you. Does this mean anything to you?" Well, all of a sudden, tears started filling her eyes. And she backed up from me about 6 feet from me. And she said, and she held her head down a little bit. And she said, "All right." She goes, I got to be honest with you. She said, "Years ago, when I was a little girl," she goes, "I was a part of a church. And I was even on the praise team of the church, but some things happened in the church and with some people in the church, and I got wounded and I got hurt and I became very bitter at the church and I became angry at God. And I left the church and I said, 'God, I don't want anything to do with you anymore.'" And she said, "From that day on," she said, "I lost my ability to sing like I did." And she's telling me this and her eyes are filled with tears. And I'm telling you, man, I feel the Holy Ghost talking about this right now. This is going to wreck somebody tonight. If somebody gets a hold of what I'm talking about tonight, I'm telling you, you will never be the same from this night forward. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost came on me. He quickened me right there, not in a church, not at a conference, not in a cell group, at a restaurant. A restaurant in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. And I looked at her and I said, "Well, the Lord just spoke to me and told me to tell you that if you will repent tonight, if you will release all the unforgiveness, if you will forgive those who have hurt you and wounded you, if you'll forgive them and repent tonight and come back to God, he is waiting for you with arms wide open. And he's been chasing you all these years. And the Lord says tonight that if you will surrender your heart back to you, that all the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable and they're without repentance, and God will restore the voice and the singing that he gave you to begin with in the beginning." And I'm telling you, then she stepped towards me. I stepped towards her. I grabbed her hands right there at a restaurant and I began to pray with her. She began to weep and I believe, and God touched her right there in the restaurant. Right there in the restaurant. I'm talking about, listen, we experience these things every week. I'm talking about week after week, divine appointments. I would see, I saw a guy that I used to party with going down the interstate. I hadn't seen him in a year since I got saved. I'm talking about, I used to smoke weed with this guy. I used to hang out with this guy. I used to run with this guy. I didn't see him for a whole year. I got born again, got saved. I never got to witness to him. I saw him going down the road on the interstate one day, and I looked at my wife and I said, "That's so-and-so right there." And she goes, "Yeah, it is." And I stretched my hands out towards the windshield of the car and I said, "Lord," I said, "if you'll put him in my path, I'll share the gospel with him. I'll share my testimony with him." To God be my witness. Not even a week later, I don't even know how long it was. It may have been a couple of days, but I know it wasn't that long. Within a few days or less than a week later, I'll have you know that joker walked into the restaurant where I was working. It's still at that Arby's. I'm on the front line as a cashier. I see him walk in and I start laughing. I wasn't laughing at him. I was laughing at God. I'm like, "God, really?" I'm like, and the Lord spoke to me in my spirit right here. And he said, if you told me if I bring him to you, you would witness to God. I said, "You did." And I looked at my manager. I said, "Hey, can I take a quick 15-minute break?" I took a break. I went out in the lobby and I shared my testimony and shared my gospel, shared the gospel with him. And it shook him to hear how God had radically transformed my life. Come on, is this okay? Can I share some more stories? How much time we got? Because I really haven't got into the meat of this. 42 minutes. Man, I didn't want to go this. I got a lot more stuff I want to get in here. So Lord's going to have to really compress this. I'm telling you, we saw things. I remember my wife one time. I had a dream. And in this dream, my wife was standing there. And I saw a demon, about a 3-foot demon, reach up and take his bony little hand and claws and grab my wife right where her esophagus is, right under her throat, and begin to twist his hands. I saw this in a dream and I woke up and it shook me. And I said, "You foul devil, in Jesus' name." And I began to bind, I began to loose, I began to plead the blood of Jesus. I did everything I could. And I just had that release and I just went on. And then a couple of weeks later, I didn't think of nothing of it, but my wife began to complain about having difficulty swallowing. She said it felt like something was stuck in her esophagus. And this went on for about a week. It never resonated with me. So she began to change her diet. She began to cut out this. She went to the doctor. They did x-rays. They did an ultrasound. They did all these things. They couldn't find anything. They said, "There's really, literally nothing there. There's nothing we can find." And I remember my mother-in-law was in town that day, and we lived in an apartment. She was in the other room. My wife was in the other room. I went in and I began to pray. I was in prayer and the Lord spoke to me and said, "The reason why the doctors can't find anything physically there, because this is not physical, it's spiritual." I said, "Lord, what do you mean?" He said, "You remember that dream I gave you?" And immediately I was quickened. And I said, "My Lord, yes." He said, "This is a spirit of infirmity." Oh, I know this is going to wreck some of y'all's theology. He said, "Well, I don't believe a spirit-filled believer can deal with demons." Listen, I can show you in the Bible where a daughter of Abraham had a spirit of infirmity on her for 18 years and nobody could recognize it and set her free, because they didn't have discernment and she was in an atmosphere where nobody had the authority to cast it off her. But the Bible says she was a daughter of Abraham. She was righteous before the Lord. My wife was not possessed by a demon, but she was oppressed by a spirit of infirmity. Well, I don't believe it. I don't really care if you believe it or not. But I marched in that room where she was at and I called it out. I said, "This is a spirit of infirmity." And I told my wife, I said, "Do you remember that dream I told you about?" And she said, "My Lord," she said, "I do." And I didn't even give her a chance to even doubt it. I already had oil in my hand, slapped it on her head, and cast that devil off of her. And I'm here to tell you that from that moment on, she's never had that issue again. Why? Because she was set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. I remember the first time we began to fast. We didn't go on a one-day fast when we started this thing out. We went dead straight. I mean, we went into the deep end and went on a 21-day fast. and believe in God for the miraculous in our life. And as we begin to believe God for the miraculous, about 3 days into the 21-day fast, my wife had a dream that we met my biological father at a church service who I had not seen my entire life because he left me when I was a little baby in the crib. I did not even know he was alive. I didn't know if he was dead or what. But before that dream, before we started fasting, there was a meeting that I was in with Tommy Tenney, and he was talking about unforgiveness, and he would talk about releasing people and forgiving them. And my father came up before my mind, and I, in that service, I released him and I forgave him that night. And that gave the opportunity. Later on, I understood for that miracle to happen. So guess what happened? She has that dream 3 days in. She said, I had a dream that your dad showed up at the church. And I'm telling you, we finished the 21-day fast. We got up and we began to share a testimony. This was at Evangel World Prayer Center in Louisville, Kentucky. Pastor Bob Rogers had us come up and share this testimony because God had given us other breakthroughs financially during that 21-day fast. So he had all these people just one after another, family after family, person after person come up and share these testimonies of what God had done in their life through the 21-day fast. So my wife and I get up there. And we begin to share this testimony about how God had blessed us financially. God had bring breakthrough in our relationships with the other family members. Then we go back and we sit back down as we're sitting in the service. An usher comes over, calls me out because he knew me by name. I knew him. He knew me. And he said, Ricky, I need you to step out here in the lobby, out in the parking lot. There's a man in the parking lot who says he is your biological father and he wants to see you. Well, friends, I froze up and freaked out because I knew it. I looked at Melissa. She looked at me. We both had eyes as big as half dollars. We knew that her dream was being fulfilled. So I walk out in the lobby, and there is my biological father standing there. He introduced himself. I introduced to him. I said, how did you find me? Long story short, we ended up going to the same service or same church, but he went to the 9 a.m. service. The 9 a.m. service. He went to the 9 a.m. service. I went to the 10:45 service. And he said, when I got up at the 10:45 service and shared my testimony, they had already been to the 9 o'clock, got home, was getting ready to leave, but the 10:45 service was televised. And when he had the service on, they were listening to it as they were packing up and getting ready to go out of town. When I got up on the platform and introduced myself and said my name, my biological father freaked out and looked at my stepmother and said, that's my son. He had been searching for me for years and didn't know how to contact me. So he did, come on. I'm talking about the Lord was doing miraculous signs, wonders, and miracles. My wife and I lived this out. It was a lifestyle of prayer and fasting and devotionals and seeking the Lord. We were just radically on fire. But then something happened, and it's called life. It's called time. It's called children. It's called marriage. It's called ministry. It's called all these things. And what happened is, as time went on, I like to say it like this. I did not recognize that the fire had gone out as much as it has. Because listen, you guys watch me week after week and you listen to me and say, oh, Brother Ricky, you're so on fire for God. Praise God. I wish I had the fire of God like you do. And I wish I had that zeal and that faith. Listen, you don't even know the half of it. If you would have known me 23 years ago and you think I'm radical now and you think I'm on fire for God for now, listen, I'm telling you, and I want to tell you like this. This is how I want to describe this. It's like having a black suit on. Or for you ladies, a black dress. For you men, a black suit. Now, when you're in a room that is very poor lit and you have a black suit on, You are not going to see imperfections and stains on your black suit and your black dress until, watch this, you step out of a dark environment, or I should say a dim environment, and you step outside into full-blown light. And when you step outside, all of a sudden, all these little imperfections and these stains that you never saw in the atmosphere that you were in before now are standing out like a sore thumb. This is what I like to compare. This is what happens in our walk with God. Oh, come on. I'm still in the text here. John says, in Revelation 2, Jesus is saying to the church of Ephesus, to the believers there, you've got all these things going. You're still doing ministry. You're still, come on, I'm going to make this modern vernacular, okay? I'm going to make this up. You're still a good church member. You're still taking your kids to church. You're still reading your Bible. You're still praying. You're still doing these things. You're still laying hands on the sick. You're still doing all this thing. But watch this. But nevertheless, you've lost your first love. There's no zeal. There's no flame. There's no passion. There's no desire. You're going through the motions. You're in autopilot. Now, I would have never believed that was me years ago. I would have never believed I would got to that place. But you know what happens? This is why Brother Ricky is always telling you, you can't base it on feelings and emotions. Look, I know we're probably 50 minutes or so into this, but I'm not going to rush this. I'm going to let the Holy Ghost move tonight. I'm sorry for all you TikTok attention span people. You're just going to have to bear with us. You're going to be with us or you're not. If you got to go, come back and watch it in segments, whatever you got to do. But we're going to finish this message tonight because people's going to get touched tonight. So I never would have believed that if you'd have taught me 23 years ago, I will be on fire. I will never allow my fire to burn out. It'll never fizzle. I'll never let the oil run dry, and I'll keep burning, burning, burning. But what happens is, and again, I want to emphasize this. This is why I tell you, listen, the devil will do everything he can to keep you out of church, fellowship with other believers, out of your Bible, out of your prayer closet, and out of the presence of God. Why? Because he knows if he can do these things, the farther away he gets you, and the more comfortable he gets you in a dim, lukewarm atmosphere of passivity and complacency, you will not notice that your fire is going out. You won't notice that the oil is running out in your lamp. It's only when you're exposed to the light. It's only when you are exposed to the fire that the light bulb comes off. The light shines on you and you realize that you are in lukewarm living. You are living in passivity. You are in complacency. You're in autopilot. Yes, you're still reading the Bible. Yes, you're still going to church. Yes, you're still doing these things, but you have no zeal. You have no fire. You have no passion. You've lost the love affair that you had with Jesus, that first love. So for me, listen to me, for me, it's been a series over the past probably year or so. I would go to a church service where I'd hear a message and the Lord would begin to deal with me. All right, Lord, I see that. Thank you, Lord, for showing me this. And I would repent. And I would try, and I would get back on track for a while. And I would just, again, I would be doing all the things I need to do, checking all the boxes. But I really didn't have that. I wanted that fire. Not to say that I didn't have the anointing, not to say that I didn't have God working through me. I'm not saying that. Again, this is not a salvation issue here today, guys. I wouldn't even say that I was backslid, but that's questionable. Because again, if you go to the book of Revelation, he said, I wish that you were red hot, or I wish you were ice cold, but because you're lukewarm, you make me want to spew you out of my mouth. I'm just saying, it's in there. But it wasn't until recently, there was a conference that was held in Tennessee at Pastor Greg Locke's church, and there was a lot of individuals that came, but there was one particular night, I didn't go to this conference, I watched online, and there was a message that was preached by Isaiah Saldivar. Now, if you don't know who Isaiah Saldivar is, I don't have time to get into his testimony, but you've got to hear Isaiah's testimony. It reminds me a lot of myself, just a radical encounter with God and radical obedience. And he saw a move of God from his house. People were coming by the thousands in his house in California and getting radically transformed, set free, and born again, not in a church building, from his house. He turned his house into a ministry center and into a whole revival movement. And there was signs, wonders, miracles, the whole thing. The testimony is profound. I encourage you to go listen to it. But anyway, he spoke at this conference last weekend. And there was a message. I want to share a clip, a little snippet of this. I want to share the whole thing because, number one, I don't want to get hit with some copyright stuff. So I want to give you just a couple-minute snippet of this message. And I'm going to tell you what this message did for me and my family. I'm getting ready to get to that. And then we're going to bring this home to you, and we're going to hit it at your house, at your doorstep. Okay? So let me give you a little bit of background here. He is talking about the very thing we're talking about tonight, losing your first love, going through the motions, being an autopilot. This is what he's talking about here tonight. So I want you to hear this little bit of a snippet. Again, this message, I heard this message this past weekend, and I can't explain it, but it was like a seed was planted like never before. I mean, I was rocked by this message. I was weeping on the couch watching this. But the real product of this did not come until Wednesday night. And I'm going to share with you. So let's watch this message, and I'll get to you in just a moment and tell you what happened.
With Jesus Christ, I wonder if there's anybody that says, I want to go back to my first love. God says this to you tonight. I remember you. Where have you been? God says, I haven't seen you in prayer. He went from being on the front row every service to the back row. Global Vision, you've lost. I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to your church. Oh, is he talking to our church, Pastor? I'm talking to the Christians in this church, because many of you aren't from here. You've lost that intimacy, that first flame, that fire. God, why does it? And I've done this in my own life. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching from experience. Again, Vlad preached such a profound, such a prolific message. As he was preaching, I was like, I can't follow this. I don't even have notes. I have no clue what I'm going to do, but get up there and just be vulnerable. But I really...
And that's what I love about him too, is... he's very transparent, like myself. This is what I do. I'm very transparent. I talk about myself, my own struggles, my own relationship with God. And I love this, that he's vulnerable, he's transparent, and he's real. This is what we need. This is the kind of preaching, guys, that we need back in the church. People are tired of the shows. They're tired of the theatrics. They're tired of the religious rigmarole. It's not doing anything for people. It's not setting people free. Let me get back to this.
I realize that at times I could go through the motions. I realize at times I could become a professional Christian, and I could put the car in the carpool lane, and I could take my feet off the gas. Somebody loves that one saying, mash the gas. I could take my feet off the gas, and I can coast through this life. And some of you have gotten distracted by marriages and children and basketball practice and a football practice and cheerleading practice and tutoring and piano lessons, and I got to go here and then I got to go there. And God is saying, I want you to remember your first love. I want to restore the passion that you once had. I want to restore the desire that you once have. The hunger is gone. Be honest. I lost my desire to worship. How do I know, brother, if I've lost my desire to worship? Because the only time you do it is at church.
Think about it, church.
Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. How do I know if I'm one of those that casts out devils, prophesies and does miracles, but don't know him? Because the only time you pray, the only time you read, and the only time you fast is when the church is doing it. No prayer life. Let us ask ourselves that question. What does my prayer life look like in the last 7 days? Friend, a prayerless church is no church at all. A church that doesn't fast is no church at all. A church that doesn't praise is no church at all. A church that has no boldness, has no fire, has no passion. I'm telling you, the true warriors are not born on the pulpit. They are born in the secret place of consecration. And God is calling us back to the place of consecration and separation, where you say, I don't want to watch that movie. I don't want to go to that game. I don't want to listen to that music. I'm set apart. I'm consecrated. Holy is his name. Holy is the Lord. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, it's time for deliverance, to get back to holiness. It's time.
All right, guys. And again, I'll put the link to this, so you can watch the whole message down below in the description if you want to watch the whole message. But in this, in his testimony, he talks about when he got saved, he began to go, the Holy Spirit spoke to him to go through his house and begin to rid his house and rid his life of everything that grieved the Holy Ghost. We're talking about movies and CDs and DVDs. And I'm talking about the Spirit of God would begin to speak to him words of knowledge about some of his family members that had things that they was keeping secret in his home that was grieving the move of God. And again, some of y'all can't handle this kind of preaching. Some of y'all can't handle this. It's too deep. It's too radical. And so as he began to rid this and clean this thing and make this place a facility to facilitate the move of God, as he was, as he was obedient to do that, God honored it and showed up. And I'm telling you, souls after souls after souls got saved and delivered under his ministry. And he's still going strong. I think he's been doing it for, I want to say 12, 13 years. So I've got about 10 years on him. So again, I love his fire and his zeal and his passion. But see, that message was what I needed to hear. The Lord knew that I needed to hear that. So here's what I want to tell you tonight. So Wednesday night, we got together because we do our devotionals together as a family. See, I'm not saying we don't ever do stuff like this, because we do. It was our devotional time. We got together, and it was my wife, myself, my 15-year-old son, and my 8-year-old son. We got together, and we read out of, and it was 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It had nothing to do with this, but my heart was still moved. I was still wrecked from this weekend. And it spilled out. And I began to say, I was like, it's time we repent and we get back to our first works. And I begin to testify, and I begin to stir up my wife and myself. And we begin to talk about these things that God used to do, that God did with us and through us when we were younger, and how, and with our kids listening, our 8-year-old, a 15-year-old listening to these testimonies. Come on, friends. Listen, I'm here to tell you, you want God to touch your kids. You want God to wreck your kids' life and they never be the same. They'd be on fire for the Holy Ghost. Listen, it's got to come from you. You got to lead the charge. If you're lukewarm, passive, complacent, and lackadaisical, then your children are going to be lukewarm, passive, complacent, and lackadaisical. If you don't see a need to go deeper with God and have all of what God has for you, then they're going to have no desire to do that. But if they see you on the deep end, come on somebody, if they see you fasting, if they see you seeking the face of God, they see you in worship, they see you weeping, they see you, listen, it's been 2 days and I'm still weeping. My eyes right now are puffy. They are sore. They're tender, and they're probably red and bloodshot because I've cried so much. Why? I'm about to share with you why. Number one, God has wrecked me. So I begin right there in the basin. I begin to say, we are lukewarm. We are complacent. We are just some Christians living a life of passivity. We're okay with normal Christianity. And I knew deep down inside of me, I'm not okay with Christianity. This rubs against everything in my fiber and being. I preached against normal Christianity for 23 years. I preached against lukewarmness. I preached against all these things. And I didn't even realize that I had succumbed to the very thing I hated. But as the fire of God came, as the light of God exposed through that message, and this is not about Isaiah Saldivar. And this doesn't put him on a pedestal, and this doesn't make him special. All he is a conduit. All he is a vessel that was a recipient that was obedient. He told you he didn't even have notes. Everybody else that got up there had notes. They had an outline. He just got up and he shared from his heart. And I'm thankful for one and many others who was there that night and probably listened online. And I listen, some of y'all are so offended because it was at Greg Locke's church and you don't like this and you don't like that, that you can't even receive this message tonight. And that's a shame. That is sad. Some of you has been offended over a lot of things that I've said in this message tonight, and it's really sad because you'll never receive what God has for you. And the chances are you're probably lukewarm and complacent as well, and you need this message, and that's why the devil's going to keep you offended so you can't receive anything tonight. So I begin to weep, and I begin to say, we are lukewarm. And I said, tonight is the night. I pulled my journal out and I took my pen, and she said, what are you doing? I said, tonight on this September 6th, 2023, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. This is the night that we raise the standard again, because we didn't realize that we were even lowering the standard. Listen, we begin, all of a sudden, I said, we're going to pray right now. And it was like, I'm telling you, it was like a well that was shut up on the inside of me. And when I began to open my mouth in repentance, it was like a dam broke open on the inside of me. And I began to pour forth repentance. I began to repent. And I'm telling you, we begin to repent of things that most of you that call yourselves Christians would probably not even see anything wrong with. We're not talking about major sins here. We're not talking about infidelity or adultery or theft or murder. We're not talking about major sins, but we're talking about the little foxes that spoil the vine and keep us from a real move of God, a real refreshing from the presence of the Lord. See, over here in Acts chapter 3, Peter said, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. That word refreshing here is where we get the word and we derive the word revival. Where there's no repentance, there's no refreshing, aka revival. So watch this. The more I begin, I'm talking about, we went through 30 minutes of repentance. I'm weeping. I'm broken. She's weeping. She's broken. And I'm repenting for 30 minutes. And the more I begin to repent, the more we begin to repent, you can feel the weightiness of God's presence come into that room and come into our basement. Just start flooding in. And all of a sudden we're sitting there and I'm just weeping. I'm just broken. She's weeping. We got worship music on. All of a sudden my 15-year-old son begins to shake under the power of God. I've never seen this happen before like this. He gets up and it startled me, and he comes running over to me and he says, I feel led to lay my hands on you and praise. And he began to speak words of knowledge and prophesy over me. I've never seen that happen in my life. And in his 15 years of life, I've never seen him do that, but he was being obedient. And I'm talking about the power of God was on him. He was weeping and he was being used by God. And so, of course, this and the power of God began to just shake the whole basement where we're at. So then all of a sudden, he comes over. I said, I want you to stand here. I begin to lay hands on him and I begin to prophesy over him. I begin to declare his destiny over him. I begin to ask the Lord to use him mightily in this, and the power of God's all over him. All of a sudden, I start hearing this weeping. I begin to hear this cry, and I thought it was him. And I looked around and I said, no, it's not him. And I hear this weep, and I look down and it's my 8-year-old son. man, I'm going to try. Lord, help me to get through this message. I'm going to try. I'm telling you, this has been going on for a long time now. And I get broken talking about this. My 8-year-old son is weeping under the power of the Holy Ghost. So I call him over, I hug him, and I begin to lay hands on him and begin to pray over him and declare over him and prophesy over him. My wife is just weeping and she's the same way. And all of a sudden, we begin to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, I want to give my heart to Jesus. 8 years old, he lifts up his hands. We lay hands on him. We lead him to the Lord. He gets born again. He still weeps. I mean, he wept and wept and wept even after being saved. And the Spirit of God was all over him. What am I talking about? I'm talking about as we repented and came back to our first love. I'm telling you, we laid it out before the Lord. I was like, God, I'm sorry. Lord, help us to get back to that radical walk with you. Lord, I don't want to just preach to people behind this camera. Listen, I love every one of you, but I want to go to a Walmart and see someone hurting and see someone lost. And I want to have such radical obedience and such radical courage that look, I'm just not going through the motions, but I have such compassion that I don't care if I'm in the middle of a Walmart. I want to lay hands on them and see them set free, delivered and saved right there in the middle of a Walmart. I want to, Lord, give me the dreams that I once had. Lord, I'm telling you, I gave my children to the Lord. Some of y'all, listen, some of you are watching this right now. Whew. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. He's here, friends. He's all over this broadcast. And you're watching this tonight. You're listening to this tonight. And you said, oh, Brother Ricky, this is what I long for. This is what I want. This is what my husband and I want. This is what my wife and I want. I want this for my kids. Friend, do you really want it? Because if you really want it, it's going to cost you everything. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow after me. I recognize that we were in passivity. We were in lukewarmness. We were no longer denying ourselves that we once did. We weren't fasting like we used to. We weren't in prayer like we used to. We weren't in intercession like we used to. I'm telling you, when God did that in my living room, he spoke to me right there and he said, this is just a glimpse. He said, if you'll come back to your first love, this ain't about works, friend. I know some of y'all so bent out of shape because you're like, well, Brother Ricky's preaching a works-based gospel. No, I'm telling you, saved people work for the kingdom. Listen, the same people that will try to rebuke me for preaching a, quote, works-based gospel because they think this is radical are the same people that will come to you and I and they'll say, oh, can you please pray for my husband because I can't, he is bound by alcohol and he's bound by drugs. Or will you please pray for my mama and my daddy because they're lost and they need saved. Friend, listen, if you'll stop playing church and being lukewarm and you will completely, radically be obedient to the Lord, get rid of the things that the Holy Spirit is telling you to get rid of, sever the relationships that he's telling you to sever, repent of all that stuff, and really read the Bible and just obey what it says, really get a burden for the Lord, begin to intercede for those loved ones, you're going to see those prodigals get saved, you're going to see those loved ones get saved, and you don't have to crawl around and roll around and wallow around on the carpet begging God to save your kids, because you will be a burning light and a burning torch and an example to them, and when they see you burning for Jesus, they're going to follow in your footsteps. I'm telling you, there can be a prayer. Listen, there's in Isaiah's podcast he did with his sister. There was one part that really wrecked me too. He was talking about when he got radically saved and the Spirit of God came on him and came in there in his life and began. It was like a bomb went off in his house and there was just a sovereign move of God there. His brother who was not ready to get saved. He was running from God. He was still doing things he shouldn't. His brother actually would go into, he went into his room, he would lock the door, and he would stuff towels under his door where the crack of the door was, hoping that he would prevent the Spirit of God from coming under the door. Because watch this, the glory of God was so evident in that house that it was seeping through every room, every crevice. All, again, it reminds me of Obed-Edom. When they put the Ark of the Covenant in Obed-Edom's house, the Bible says that all of Obed-Edom's house prospered. It was the glory of God was on everything that was in their household. I'm telling you, if some of y'all, listen, if you'll be obedient to God, if you'll repent right now, and you'll come back to your first love, you'll see these miracles. You'll see the signs, wonders, and miracles. You'll see the lost being saved. You'll see the sick being healed. And you will cast out devils in Jesus' name, because it is for today. Deliverance is for today. Freedom is for today. And salvation is for everyone that will believe and who is willing to repent. And because the Bible says that it is the will of God that all come to repentance and for to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So listen, if you're listening to this today, you're watching this today, and that's you, and you are saying right now, Brother Ricky, this is me. You're speaking to me. I love God. I believe in God, but I feel like I've lost my first love. I don't have that fire anymore. I don't have that zeal anymore. I don't hear from God anymore. I don't have those dreams anymore. I don't have the burden for the lost anymore. I don't have the zeal anymore. I don't have the joy of the Lord. I've lost all of it. Friends, I'm telling you, this doesn't take a fancy 12-point formula. Again, repent, therefore, and be converted, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Listen, David said in Psalms 51, the Bible says that David began to repent of his sins. He began to say in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, God, and renew in me a steadfast spirit, and don't cast away your presence from me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. And he says in verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Oh, come on. I want to prophesy to somebody today, tonight, on this Friday, September 8th. Right now, somebody's getting the joy back restored. Somebody's getting the fire restored right now. Some of you, there's tears flowing from your eyes. Your hands are lifted up right there in your living room. Your hands are lifted up in your office. You're driving your car. You're listening to this by Apple. You're listening to this by Spotify. And you, the Holy Spirit's arrested you. The Spirit of God's moving on your hearts. You can feel it racing in your chest. Your palms are sweaty. You're shaking under the power of God. Why? Because Jesus loves you so much, friend, that he is chasing you down. He's going over every obstacle. He's not intimidated by your lifestyle. He's not intimidated by your sin. He's not intimidated by your busyness, your schedule, by your lukewarmness. He's not intimidated by all this. The Bible says if you will draw near unto him, he will draw near unto you. Come on, just right where you're at, just begin to repent. Begin to open your mouth. Lord, just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for not being on fire for you. Forgive me for not seeking you like I am. Forgive me for losing my first love. Lord, forgive me for loving the ministry more than you. Forgive me for loving the spotlight and for the accolades and the promotions and the platforms. Forgive me for loving all this thing more than you and putting this above you. God, I want to get back to my first love. Lord, I pray that you restore the joy of my salvation tonight. God, I pray for a refreshing of the Holy Ghost, refreshing for myself, refreshing for my marriage, refreshing for my children, refreshing for my whole household in Jesus' name. Come on, receive it tonight. Lord, I just pray you'd pour out a fresh touch, a fresh outpouring. Lord, may the refreshing of the Spirit of God be open like the heavens over their household. Let it pour out into their home. Let it pour out into their lives in Jesus' name, so that they can have a radical transformation, Lord, just like I experienced, Lord. And Lord, I pray that they'll never be the same again. And I pray that this, from this day forward, they will steward that presence, they will find him. Guys, listen, I'm telling you, you can get that back. You can get into that place where you say, Lord, I cannot wait. I'm excited to get my journal and get my Bible, turn on that worship music and get into that place, that secret place, because I know that you're already waiting for me when I meet you there. Come on, somebody. Come on. I hope you receive this tonight. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website right there. It's going to be where you find us. Again, download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android stores. Hit yes to push notifications. That's where you can get messages like this, and you're going to get all of our headlines, our prophetic viewpoints, all that stuff will be there and be readily available for you when you download the free app. Of course, hit the like button, share if this has been blessing to you. Get that out there and share it as well. And of course, guys, I would please pray about becoming a monthly partner. When you do that, it enables us and helps us to do what we do on a full-time basis. We do not charge. We don't get a dime or a penny from any messages. Every one of our podcasts are free. Our app is free. We don't sell any merchandise. We don't sell anything. All we ask is you be obedient to the Lord. And you could do that with your giving, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. There's two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, through via different methods of doing it electronically, or by check or money order right there on the screen. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Listen, I hope this message has been impactful, equipping, and just I hope it lights a fire under you like it did for me. Again, we're going to sign off for tonight for this week of podcasting. We pray that you have a very blessed and safe weekend. And we're going to be right back here, Lord willing, on Monday of next week, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back here in the studio. And remember, next week on Thursday night, 7 p.m., 8 p.m. Eastern, we'll be on with Bishop Larry Ragland on the Big Picture, the Kingdom Report, or the Kingdom Intelligence Report, rather. I'm going to be on there on Thursday night. So Monday night, we'll be right back here in the saddle, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Till then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.